Let's pray, huh? Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this night. And we thank you, God, for your wonderful grace upon this church, your protection. Lord, we do not take it lightly. We do not say it's a coincidence. Lord, we say it's by the name and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we do ask you continue to protect this fellowship, not only from a virus, but also from those enemies who would try to form weapons against your people. Lord, we ask for you to be our protection. We pray for Godspeed Calvary Chapel in Thousand Oaks, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen up Pastor Rob McCoy and all of his staff and all those choosing to still show up for worship services this morning. We pray, Lord, for your protection upon Rob's personal finances and his and the church's property. Lord, that you would we pray that the authorities, the civil authorities there in that area, county, Lord, would just resign to not take up this battle. But Lord, they would do something else. Lord, just blind your enemies and these enemies. And we ask, Lord, that you would protect your church. Lord, we also want to pray for this dear woman and her children as we attempt to help her be taken out of a terrible situation. Lord, we thank you so much for her faith in you, that Lord, in you she's found forgiveness of sin and new life that can never be taken from her. But in the meantime, Lord, we pray for your provision. We pray for the safety of those who are going in to get her and to bring her out. And Lord, we just give, we ask for your power upon this whole situation and for your victory to prevail. And we trust in you, Lord, and we give this time to you now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Steve Vu, come on up.
All right.
Steve Vu is preaching tonight, and this is actually a blessing for us because Steve, I've asked Steve over the years to preach a few times on Sunday night. Oh, yeah. Kids, see you later.
See you later.
They're leaving anyway. I just pulled a Newsom. I'm sorry.
Whoa. Whoa.
I apologize. Yeah. I'm they just started doing something before they were given permission.
All right. All right. So,
anyway, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
I'll back you up.
I'm on vacation mode still, guys. So we've asked Steve a few times to preach on Sunday. Steve has a Bible study ongoing on Thursday nights, 7 p.m.
Yep.
In the Fellowship Hall. Mm-hmm. It's 3 chords Bible study. We're trying to pray and encourage Steve to start a Saturday night service. And we'll see eventually how the Lord opens those doors and when that'll happen.
Right.
But Steve is a great preacher, and I'm excited to have you, and thank you very much, Steve. I'm going to give you the rest of the time.
Right.
God bless you.
God bless you, Dave. Thanks, and praise the Lord, you're home safe, and Laura, and the kids. And thank you for guiding us through the Word of God and guiding us through this weird time, my goodness. But let me exhort you with this. Choose for ourselves this day whom we will serve, but for we in our house. Can you guys finish it? We shall serve the Lord. Come on, you shouted earlier. Shout now. We shall serve the Lord. All right, I want to keep this energy going here. And for tonight, we're going to go on a trip. I was thankful that Dave got to go on a trip to Yellowstone. Katie and I were planning on doing the same thing. And we were a little jealous. We saw the pictures on horseback and all those things. And I thought, man, Lord, he's letting me teach on Saturday or Sunday night. Let's go on a trip ourselves. So tonight we're going to go on a trip. I know we're in 1 Samuel here on Saturday or Sunday nights. I'm wishing it was Saturday. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. But we're going to go from 1 Samuel chapter 12, as we did last week with Geraldo, doing a wonderful job. And then we're going to shoot on to the early church in the book of Acts. So strap in, hang on tight. Let's see if we can finish this thing. So in 1 Samuel chapter 12, in that time, what was the Israelites doing? What was God's people doing? They were demanding themselves what a human king, right? They were demanding themselves a human king. They wanted what the world wanted. They were rejecting God's leadership. What was the problem? They had their eyes not fixed on the Lord. They had their eyes fixed on the world around them, looking north. Hey, look, that nation there, they've got their own king. Look east and west, those tribes, they have their own king. And those guys to the south of us, they too have their own king. Looking to the world, they wanted the things of the world. They wanted their own king. So they demanded it from the Lord. And gracious as he is, he gave him Saul. By the time we get to chapter 12, Saul has already been anointed. He's already won his first battle. He's ready to take the reins. And the prophet Samuel, he's ready. He's old. He sees what's happening. So he's going to give his final address, if you will, his final exhortation. But how we can glean from this as a church is, where were their eyes? Not upon God. On the world. And the world to some is attractive. Where we fix our eyes is where we want to go. Where we fix our eyes, we might desire. And it might be the wrong decision. It might be the wrong decision. But God is gracious. You know what Samuel said to them here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13. I think we have it. Is it? Okay, great. He says, now therefore, speaking to the Israelites, now therefore here is the king whom you have chosen. Here he is, the king that you have chosen. You had chosen whom you desired. Take note, the Lord had set a king for you. And in verse 14, he says, if you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and do not rebel against his commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you shall continue following the Lord your God. And in verse 16, he says, now therefore, if you continue to follow the Lord, you and this king you've chosen, therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. You see, even though they rejected God, they've chosen for themselves a human king. God is gracious. God is gracious. He says, even though you've chosen another way, still look to me, and I will still do great things. That's an encouragement for me, because oftentimes I choose my own path. How many of you do that? God, my way, not your way. I want this. Right? But even though we might walk the wrong path, we might reject his way, he is still there with us to love us, to lead us back, to take us back. It's an encouragement. It's encouragement for at least me. Because we see today, the church has many decisions to make. Where are our eyes today? That's why I now want to jump into the early church, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Who do you serve today? Who do you serve as a church? When you go to church, what's going on? And when I speak of the church, I'm not only speaking about all of us together, but as individuals, because individually we make up the church. Where are your eyes? The book of Acts, we know the story. We know what it's all about. It's about the early church, the Acts of the Apostles. But more accurately, I believe it's the acts of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. The acts of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. Though the book has 28 chapters in it, the story of the church is not over, because we are that church still today. That Holy Spirit that guided them in the early days is the same Holy Spirit that guides us here today. What is our story? When the books are open, what do you want it to read of our church, of your lives? You see, it's not over. When this whole pandemic thing started, I started praying to the Lord, "Lord, what's going on? I've never seen this. I've never been not able to go to church. Persecution, all these things have arrived on our shores. Lord, what's going on?" And I remember him saying to me, "Steve, I'm still in charge. I'm still in charge. Now the question is, what are you going to do? What is your church going to do? Are you going to hide in fear? Are you going to stay home? Are you going to be afraid? What are you going to do?" I'm doing a work. Remember when we started the third service, the early service, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know if anyone was going to show up. And it was a great showing. And I remember Pastor Dave saying, "Hey, there's a revival going on." Yes, what are we going to do? Because God is going to do a work, and we don't want to miss it. Amen. That's what he told me. "Steve, don't miss it. Don't miss it." So, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, something as interesting is told to us. That the church was scattered. This guy named Saul, again, we have another Saul. He was consenting to Stephen's death. We're going to talk about Stephen in a second. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church. Sound familiar? And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, this word scattered is interesting. In the Greek, it is diaspero. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Diaspero. And that word means to sow throughout. To sow, like farmers, sowing. To sow throughout. It doesn't mean scared. It doesn't mean hiding. But it means to sow throughout. So the church was scattered. They were sowing throughout. It's kind of like manure. It's no good stuck in a pile. It just stinks. But when you spread it out on their lawn, things grow, don't they? That's what's going on tonight. We're spread out. You guys are sitting 6 feet apart from each other. We're at home watching. But let's grow. Let's foster the Word of God. It's awesome. Awesome thing. So what was the mission of the church back then? Flip the numbers. Let's go to Acts 1, chapter 8. In that one verse, we are told what the whole mission of the church is, what the whole book of Acts is all about. They were recalling what Jesus had spoken to them before he was crucified. They were quoting Jesus and remembering. He says, Jesus told them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's it. That's it. That was the mission of the church. That was the purpose. The theme of the book of Acts. The theme of our church today You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, you must be born again. You must be saved. You must know the Lord. You must know the Lord. To the Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ. Have you placed your trust in Christ? In all your lives. Have you placed your trust in Christ in this pandemic today? Today, tomorrow, yesterday, forever, have you trusted? Put your trust in Christ. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory if we first put our trust in Christ, to be the praise of his glory. And then to Titus, in 2 Titus chapter 2, verse 6, he says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Are you partaking in Jesus Christ? Are you partaking in the blessings that he's given you? Are you partaking in the grace and mercy that God has for us? I like what Pastor Chuck says about Christianity. He says it's like measles. You can't give them unless you've got them. We can't give Christ unless we have him. Back to chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me. That's it, guys. You ask in this day and age, in this craziness, what should I be doing? What should the church be doing? Witnesses to Jesus. Simple answer. The same yesterday, today, and until he takes us home. That's it, guys. See you later. Amen. I'm so blessed to come to this church, because when I come here, I see Jesus. The Word of God is always open. The Word of God is always open. How many churches do we have here in just this city alone? If a stranger were to walk in our churches, will they find Jesus? Will they see Jesus? That's the purpose. That's the purpose. I love it. I love it how the Lord makes things so easy. Be witnesses of Jesus. You can give us citations. You can arrest us. You can burn our churches. But we shall be witnesses to Jesus. We shall be witnesses to Jesus. Where are our eyes turned? Unlike the Israelites, where they've turned into the world, our eyes should be affixed on Christ right now. Go to me to Acts chapter 7, where we find two fellows. We find Stephen. And I love this when I get to teach upon Stephen. He does a good job in representing the Steves of the world. I'm going to try to do the same tonight. Stephen. And then we find this fellow, a name, who else? Saul. Oh, there's that Saul name again. There's that name Saul again. But Stephen, you know where he came from. He was just a saved guy. Then he became a deacon, filled with the Holy Spirit, devout, faithful. And all of a sudden, Stephen finds himself from cleaning tables to standing in front of the high council and giving a powerful testimony. You know the story. You know the story. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 56, I think we have it. It says, when they heard these things, what things? The testimony of Stephen. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They weren't very happy. We see that today sometimes, some of these protests, gnashing of teeth. But he, Stephen, being filled or full of the Holy Spirit, guys, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's the key. He gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God. Where was Stephen's eyes, you guys? Fixed on Jesus in heaven. It wasn't fixed on the people gnashing at him with his teeth. His eyes weren't fixed on the people with stones in their hands. That would have scared the bejesus out of him. But where was his eyes? Fixed upon Jesus, who gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So his eyes was fixed. Gazed into heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is awesome, because oftentimes we hear of Jesus sitting by the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Father. But here, Stephen sees Jesus standing. What a comfort. He's watching. He's watching. He's standing. He's not sitting. He's not doing nothing. He's standing and he's watching Stephen, and he's watching us tonight. Standing at the right hand of God. Go to verse 59. We have it here. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice. Cried out with a loud voice. He cried out, avenge me, Lord. He cries out, call down fire and brimstone. He called out, send that legion of angels and take them out. Bring Gabriel. Where is Gabriel? Dispatch him. And destroy these people. Or he cried out to the Lord, get me out of here, Lord. Send me to Caesarea instead. Now we know better than that. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? In a loud voice, he cried, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Those were his last words. Those were his last words. What powerful words to say. Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. What a wonderful witness of Jesus, because that's what Jesus said, didn't he? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Witness to Jesus. Witness to Jesus. He didn't quit. He forgave. I don't know if this Stephen, me, can do that. I would have said, God, avenge me. Send somebody. Send Pastor Dave. What would you do? What would you do? Guess what? As powerful as Stephen's testimony was, yours can be too. We can say, Lord, forgive them. We can cry out, do not charge them with this sin. Why? Because the same Jesus he had his eyes fixed upon is the same Jesus we serve today. It's the same Holy Spirit that empowered Stephen to say that. It's the same Holy Spirit that empowers us today. So can we forgive those who persecute us? Yes. Can we have mercy? Yes. Can be we be a witness to Jesus? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And the wonderful thing is that other guy, Saul, was there. And he heard Stephen cry out, "Forgive them." You see, in this day and age, with all this protest going on, if we're witnesses to Jesus, maybe there is a Saul, too, out there among them. Maybe there is a Saul, too, out there among us. Among all the protesters, among all the people who seem to hate the church today. Stephen's death wasn't in vain. Saul was there, and he heard it. Go with me to now, Acts chapter 9, where we do hear of Saul. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 tells us what Saul did shortly after he witnessed Stephen's death. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Sound familiar? Dave went this morning. He was ready to throw Christians in jail. He was ready to throw Dave in jail. You see. But along his trip to Damascus to find these Christians and bring them to jail, what happens along the way? Verses 3 to 6. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Interesting. Why are you persecuting me? If I was Saul, and I'm not, if I was Saul, I would have said, "You? What did I do to you? I'm persecuting the Christians. I want to take them to jail. Why did you say you?" That's how close the Lord is to us. That's how close the Lord is to us. I love that. He takes it personally when his people are persecuted. Closer than a brother, our Lord. That comforts me. That comforts me. So he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he was trembling and astonished and asked and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Did you guys catch it? Did you guys catch it? What was Saul's purpose on the road to Damascus? He was willing to persecute the church. He was doing what? His will. But after he encounters Jesus, after he sees the bright light, the glory of God, after he sees Jesus, a change happens. And now, instead of I'm going after your people. Now he asks the most important question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves today. That's the question our churches around the world need to be asking today. Because our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, we need to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Every day, as a church, as individuals, Lord, what do you want me to do? That awesome transformation from, Lord, my will be done, into, Lord, let me do what your will to be done. What is it? We already know, be witnesses of Jesus. Do you live your life every day that people will recognize him and you? Do our churches and how we react to this pandemic, will they see Christ? You see, that wonderful question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Powerful, powerful. Let's go to our final leg tonight, to Acts chapter 13. To Acts chapter 13. Interesting here, because Acts chapter 13, we come upon Paul's ministry. This is where he starts his ministry. Because we know that after the road to Damascus, after his conversion, he didn't immediately go out and start a ministry. What did he do? He spent 3 years with the Lord. Spent 3 years with the Lord. He tells his account in Galatians chapter 1. If we have it, we can put it on. Galatians chapter 1, he says, Paul does, or Saul does, says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. No man gave me what I'm preaching today. It's from Jesus. He says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. The gospel which we preach today was written not by man, but the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, Saul says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. It came from the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came from me knowing Jesus. It came from Jesus himself. His message. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Powerful. Hey, Saul, where'd you get the message you were preaching? Who taught you that? Jesus did. Jesus did. It wasn't from me. I didn't make it up. No man told me. I spent this time with the Lord. I spent this time with the Lord. And he goes on to say, in verse 16 in Galatians chapter 1, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Why did Saul spend time with Jesus? Well, it was to reveal his son to him that he might preach among the Gentiles. You see, so that he might preach the message of the gospel. Awesome. So we might be witnesses unto Jesus and to preach the gospel of Jesus because we know him. Because we know him. So Saul spent the 3 years with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. You know what happens after that. Barnabas takes him down to Jerusalem finally. He meets with the apostles, and the apostles go, "Holy moly, that's Saul, that's the one that's going to take us to jail. You know the story. You brought him here. You brought him here. How could you do that, Barnabas?" And Barnabas says, "No, no, no, no. He's no longer that man. He knows the Lord. He knows Jesus, you see." And what did they do? They sent him back home to Tarsus, where he stayed in Tarsus for another 10 years. 10 years. And now in Acts chapter 13, finally, he gets sent out. Look at the group he's with. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul." If you notice something, the Holy Spirit here gathers this group of guys, and I think the Holy Spirit was taking care of something that seems to be a huge problem today. Racism and diversity. We're trying to battle all of that. Now, I don't believe that we're a racist country. Are there racists in our country? Yes, of course. How are we going to take care of this problem? We can't seem to take care of it. We can't seem to write the right laws to take care of racism. We can't seem to write the right laws to solve this diversity problem. Who can? Jesus can. The Holy Spirit can, and he does, because he brings together this group of people. Look, Barnabas, he's from Cyprus. Simeon, that's a Roman name, so he's a Roman. Lucius, he's from Cyrene. Manaen, well, he's part of the high court. He must have been from Newport Coast up there. And then we have Saul from Tarsus, who was brought up in Jerusalem, brought up a Jew. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. The Holy Spirit brought this group together, a diverse group together. No laws were made to bring them together. No requirements to have this person and this person. It was just the Holy Spirit doing his work. Problem solved. I love that. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Another thing happens in this chapter. Before Saul goes out, because the Holy Spirit says, separate Barnabas and Saul and send them out. Before that happens, Saul says, "Hey, don't call me Saul anymore. Call me Paul." This is the last time he's referred to as Saul. He's now referred to as Paul. You know what the name Saul means? It means one who is sought after. We see that in the first king. They were seeking a king, and God gives them Saul. One who is sought after. This is falling. One who is sought after. There's a lot of pride. I'm the man. I'm the man everybody wants to look to for answers. I want to be that guy. No longer. When the Holy Spirit sets him out, he says, "Don't call me that. Don't call me the one everybody wants to find. Call me Paul." You know what Paul means? It means small. It means humble. Why? I think because he spent those 3 years with the Holy Spirit. He spent those 3 years with Jesus Christ, and then he spent another 10 years in Tarsus learning about who Christ is. And whenever you put yourself in front of the Lord, He'll humble you. So Saul, before he gets sent out, says, don't call me that anymore. Call me Paul. Call me Paul. And if we keep going with this verse in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we're going to see this. In verse 2, he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit says, now separate me to me, Paul or Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on him, they sent them away. But before they were sent away, there's one thing that they did. You guys see it? And I think it's the most important part of our message tonight. Before they were sent out, before they started their ministry, in verse 2, they said, as they ministered to the Lord. They ministered to the Lord first. Ministry, the word ministry means to serve, doesn't it? Ministering to the Lord is kind of foreign. Because when we think of ministry, it's the children's ministry, it's the security ministry, it's the worship ministry. It's serving others. The homeless ministry and the food pantry ministry, we're used to ministering to others, and we should do that. But the first thing in Acts chapter 13 they did, remember, guided by the Holy Spirit, they ministered to the Lord. That's an awesome key that we cannot, should not forget. To minister to God, worshiping Him. That's why we have our time of worship before we break forth the word. Ministering to the Lord. It's an awesome thing, and I don't have the right words to tell you how to minister to the Lord. It could be in the form of worshiping. Certainly prayer, certainly fasting. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Certainly spending time with the Lord like Paul did. Meditating on His word. Worshiping God first. Worshiping God first. I think perhaps, Mary understood it. Because you know the story in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. When Jesus came to a certain town, remember? When He entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do you not care what my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. But Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha. I love those tender words of Jesus. Martha, Martha. You're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. I'm afraid sometimes in our churches we have too many Marthas and not enough Marys. Serving is good. Serving is the example of Christ. But not before we worship the Lord. not before we worship the Lord. If you want another powerful example, and this one in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 44, God addresses the Levites. You know, they were the priesthood, the Levites. Some of the Levites took their eyes off the Lord and into idolatry. And some of them kept their eyes on the Lord, the sons of Zadok, if you know the story. If not, go home and read it. Ezekiel chapter 44. God was going to address this, idolatry. And he says in verse 14, he says, nevertheless, to these guys who turned their eyes away from the Lord and into idolatry, he says, you guys who've turned your eyes away from me, nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. Their punishment for turning away with God from God was to serve in the church. I'm going to charge you guys to serve in the church in all of its capacities. Whatever is needed, you guys do it. It was a form of punishment, my goodness. To serve in church, wild thing. But in verse 16, he addresses the son of Zadok. Those are the sons who kept their eyes on God. Those who didn't reject God. He says to them, the sons of Zadok, they shall enter my sanctuary and they shall come near my table to minister to me. Their reward was ministering to God. The punishment was to minister to the church. Wow. I'm getting punished right now. I'm just kidding. The good thing, the reward was ministering to the Lord, ministering to God. That's the most powerful thing. You see, for tonight, what have you chosen? Worship God, I hope. Ministering to the Lord, serving Him. God is love, and we must first know His love. We must first know His love. That's why when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? You guys know it. What is it? To love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul. And the second is like the first, to love others. But the first is to love the Lord with all of your heart. You see, God wasn't being greedy here. God was being wise because He knew that if we loved Him first, then we can love others. It's our love of Jesus that gives us the love for His people. You see, He wasn't being jealous or greedy. He was being wise. Love me first, and then you can love others. Minister to the Lord first, and then your ministry to others will just naturally follow. Will just naturally follow. I love that. What is the witness of a church, of our church? To love the Lord with all of our hearts, to keep our eyes fixed upon Him. A pastor once told me, and I'll keep it forever. He said this. He said, your relationship with others reflects your relationship with God. Your relationship with others reflect your relationship with God. So if you have a hard time relating with others, try relating with God first. Go to Him first. Minister to the Lord. Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. He will take care of the rest. Let Him finish your story. Let Him finish His story. of the churches. What a trip. What a trip. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus and letting him guide our path. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful night. So do we have worship for our song tonight? In closing prayer. Let's pray, you guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for guiding us and leading us, Lord God. We thank you for your love for us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Even though we reject you, even though we stumble and fall, your grace abounds much. So, Father, teach us to love. Teach us to desire you, to desire your word, and lead us. Let us be a witness of you. Let all who see us see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then may the Lord keep you. May he bless you. May he make his face shine upon you. May we all be witnesses of him, making disciples of men. And may we all find our life and love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. Thank you for
God bless.